Winnipeg's historic Ukrainian Labor Temple is on the corner of Pritchard and McGregor in the North End. The building was constructed entirely with volunteer labor, mostly that of Ukrainian immigrants, and was completed in 1919. Lily Stearns is a member of the Association of United Ukrainian Canadians and the Canadian Society for Ukrainian Labor Research, and she joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Lily. So I wanted to ask first about when the temple was completed. It was completed in 1919, the same year as the Winnipeg General Strike. What labor organizing was happening at the temple at this time?
Well, that's a little hard to answer. I think that it is clear that the people who belonged to the association and who were part of the labor temple supported the strike. They were certainly working in the metal trades, in the factories, and in the industries. Some of the leaders were involved in the strike. They were not among the leadership, but they certainly were part of that. The whole branch, it's hard to say whether they all supported the strike or not, but I do know that in our archives we have memoirs of people who described their role. Some women helped prepare lunches for the strikers. They had meetings in the labor temple. So it clearly was supported by the members. Some of them were a little fearful, I would think, because they were at risk of being deported, particularly if you weren't a citizen.
And it was raided, wasn't it, during the strike by the Winnipeg
police?
Yes,
it was. There was some damage done. I think they took membership rolls. They scattered books and tape all over the place, which must have been heartbreaking. It's as if you just built a house and then suddenly someone came and vandalized it. They were so proud of this building, and to have the local police come in and raid it was heartbreaking.
The community created a Workers' Benevolent Association in 1922 to support workers. Can you talk about why this association was needed at this time?
Well, apparently they had been talking about forming a benevolent society in the early mid-1900s, 1917. They were already talking about forming a benevolent society. And the Ukrainian community and our community wasn't the only one that had a benevolent society. I think there were Hungarians and Poles and Jewish groups that had benevolent societies. But they were not covered but in any way with unemployment insurance, compensation. And what was happening is that there'd be concerts and people would ask to be able to make an appeal for funds. They'd lost their jobs, they had rent to pay, or they'd been injured, there was no coverage. So they decided to form the Benevolent Society so that they could help them. And interestingly enough, they didn't limit it to members of the organization. Anybody could become a member of the Benevolent Society. So this enabled them to provide insurance coverage if they were injured or unemployed or circumstances required a loan. And I've been reading newspapers currently. I've been reading them through the 60s and 70s, and often there'll be a letter written in expressing their gratitude that, and this was in the 60s, that while they were in the hospital, the Benevolent Society provided aid to the family so that the family could cope, even though the breadwinner was in the hospital. And this was regular. There were, in fact, one family even named their son Ersatz, which I thought, well, that's strange. And then I realized it was the phonetic pronunciation of the letters of the WBA in Ukrainian, Arzata. Well, they named their son Arzata, just as in gratitude for the help that the Benevolent Society had given them.
It's really interesting history, especially nowadays when we have increasingly groups of workers here that aren't covered by things like employment insurance and medical benefits. It's very politically
relevant
to what we're dealing with. I'm thinking about temporary foreign workers and farm workers.
Absolutely.
And those groups.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask as well about some of the other aspects of the labor temple, because as well as supporting workers, it also promoted culture and education with classrooms, a library, and a print shop as well. Why was this important for the community?
Well, I think in the order of things, the first thing that was that started was the Social Democratic Party, the Ukrainian Social Democratic Party. And then the next thing was a newspaper, Robochi Narod. And there was also a thriving drama community in Winnipeg. So the leaders of the, they were to be the leaders ultimately, decided that rather than pay rent for the publishing house and for the meeting space and particularly for the theater, wouldn't it be better to build their own building? So that's what led to the construction of the Labor Temple. And from then on, even though they started with as theater, they started putting on concerts with a children's choir, a children's orchestra, and that led to further things. Like dance groups and larger adult choirs, and they incorporate all these things into sort of semi-opera productions, almost semi-ballet. So it was quite a thriving community. And as well, there was the educational component. They provided teachers for people to learn who were Ukrainian to learn English. They also provided teachers to teach their children Ukrainian. So they provided activities for the children and for the adults, and it was a real home for the Ukrainian immigrant community. They could come there and discuss problems they had, if they needed a job, or if they needed a lawyer, or if they needed a doctor. So it was a real home. Some people went there to play chess, argue politics. It was really quite remarkable.
The temple is also part of Canada's communist history, and
right.
I know it has the motto, Workers of the World Unite, over the entrance. I wanted to ask you about one of the Ukrainian communists who was active in the temple, Matthew Popowicz. What work did he do to support working-class Ukrainians in Winnipeg and elsewhere?
Well, that's a little hard to answer because he did so much. He was born in Ukraine, 1890, and he came to Canada in 1911. And he had so many talents, it's really remarkable. He did study theater and he did study music, but he was a radical from the beginning. And he was part of the Social Democratic Party, and he was instrumental, really, in the formation of the association, the building of the Labor Temple, the beginnings of the orchestras, the choir. He was instrumental in founding the Benevolent Society. He was an incredible person. He was a radical. He was a radical from day one because of what he experienced in Ukraine, and that eventually turned him to the Communist Party. And in 1931, the Canadian government decided they banned the Communist Party, and he was arrested with seven others in Canada. And they were imprisoned in Kingston from 1931, I think, till 1934. I don't really know how strong a communist he was towards the end of his life. I don't doubt that he remained a communist, but it certainly cost him his life ultimately.
And was he interned again during the war?
That's correct. In 1941, I think it was. As a result of the Soviet Union signing a pact with Germany, the Canadian government swooped down and arrested anyone considered a communist or left-wing tendencies. And it wasn't just Ukrainians. There were Anglo-Saxons and Irish and Jews, all arrested and interned without trial at Kananaskis. Now, Matthew, his health was pretty well ruined during Kingston, and he was released, I think, in 1943. I'm not quite sure of the date, but at any rate, he died in 1943 at the age of 53. That's one of the remarkable things about Mr. Popowicz, is he was so young. He was 28 when he, with others, decided to set up the Ukrainian Labor Temple Association, and he died, at age 53. Remarkable life.
Well, it's just amazing that him and so many others like him, you know, people who were workers that were able to create such an amazing building and then culture and support for the community around it all through volunteers and donations from individuals.
It's remarkable, really. And it certainly serves as an example for young people today, which you can accomplish I think it's remarkable. I haven't listed all the things he did. I forgot he was an incredible orator. He took part in the theater. He was instrumental in the setting up of an orphanage and a senior's residence in the 30s. Just an incredibly talented, gifted, and from what I've heard, a kind, decent man.
Lastly, I wanted to ask you about the building. And as I mentioned mm-hmm. early, it's a heritage building, and it's received heritage status from all three levels of government,
That's
which
correct.
Is great. And I know you can visit it during Folklorama coming up this summer, but are there other times if people are interested in, and want to see the building, can they come and is it a public building?
Well, it's public and not public because we're not there all the time. But certainly, if they phone ahead, we'd be happy to give them a tour. We try to participate in Doors Open, although we have such a busy season in May, it stretches us a bit. But certainly if they call, can I give the number?
Yes, please do.
204-589-4397, and we'd be happy to show them around.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Lily, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Lily Stearns of the Canadian Society for Ukrainian Labor Research, and you can find out more about Winnipeg's Ukrainian Labor Temple by calling the number that she gave out, or also you can go to the website, which is ult.wpg.ca.